Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
John Williams, that's Steve Bertrand in the WGN Radio Newsroom. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We asked you online on my Facebook page to tell us what your fantasy fast food buffet would be. And a lot of you remembered that we used to do a fantasy brown bag lunch segment when I did an earlier shift, and it was when the market crashed around 2007, 8, 9, right around in there. It was a while, but we would do the show where we would start. Maybe I was on from, I think I was on from 9 to noon. On the last minute of the show would be people calling and texting in, or a few minutes, and they would tell us what their fantasy brown bag lunch would be. That is, the lunch that you remember maybe from your youth or as an adult today that was your favorite, like tuna on white with Oreo cookies, an apple, and a chocolate milk. But you could have whatever you want. You can have a can of Coke in there if you want. What was your fantasy brown bag lunch? We limited you to three baggies and a bevy. And boy, if you just go there for a minute, you have a lot of fond memories, don't you? But about the President's Fast Food Buffet, some of you are saying, John, Wendy's, Frosty, Chocolate. 815 said, bring back the fantasy brown bag lunch, King John. 630, Five Guys Burger, no onions. Fries from McDonald's, onion rings from White Castle. Chocolate shake from Culver's, this is my dream. 708, hamburger from Illinois Bar and Grill, fries from same Oberweis shake. I'll tell you what, I've been saying a Frosty from Wendy's, but if you had a Oberweis shake, not that I consider that fast food, but that's about as good as it gets. John, I want the notion that the White House staff is so depleted with the government shutdown that they had to serve McDonald's is ridiculous. Also, these are athletes who I seriously doubt would consider this spread anything they'd like to eat. It was disrespectful. 815, how about catering a steak dinner? They could set up, tear down, clean up the mess. No real work for the royal family to do.
the royal family?
A lot of you said, are there no catering services in Washington?
Well, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Steve Bertrand.
Has it been fact-checked that there's not a staff there that could have cooked for them?
I have not read a fact check on that.
Okay.
708 said, your absolute hatred and disrespect for this president is overwhelmingly disgusting. I doubt any one of those young men were disgusted or disapproved of the food the president provided. A couple of you said, you know, I'm not sure the food was warm, because you didn't see the little heating elements under those things. It was a photo op. It was a pile of burgers that came from a McDonald's. So by the time the young men got to eat that quote-unquote hot food, and frankly, is there anything more disappointing in life than cold fries from a fast food place? Some of your texts to WGN. Oh, and then one last quick phone call here before we go to Stacy. That's on line one. I think we already talked to line one. Elif, where are we going next? Line two. And that's Joe. Joe, you're on WGN. What was the question you had, Joe?
Oh, hey, John.
Hey.
A couple years ago, you did a bit on cable pricing, and you said the name of a department that you could call your cable provider for and try to get your rates cut down.
Ah, that's a completely different topic, but I don't mind because I don't remember, and maybe somebody does. So we had a guest
that's
on a couple of years ago.
But by the way, I like a Steak and Shake cheeseburger.
Oh, Steak and Shake is really good.
Yeah, the best.
I love even watching him make those things. Fond memories of Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
Oh.
No fries. I don't eat fries, and I drink water. So that's the end of it for me.
Back. Okay, so there's a number, a department you call at Comcast, and they will reduce your cable bill?
Yeah, that's what you said on the air. But about 2 years ago, you did a... Boy. You know, you could call and ask, and yeah, they do it.
Okay, 312-981-7200. If anybody knows, call Joe. Help him. Help me. Help America. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, John.
Keep listening. Stacy St. Clair is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. She joins us in studio. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, John.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
All of this silliness notwithstanding, do you want to participate?
My favorite fast food?
For instance?
I would say a Portillo's beef and cheddar on the croissant.
Wow.
It's my favorite. You know, just go local.
I didn't even think of that. Their burgers are great.
Yeah.
They're...
And then I do the Arby's fries.
Thank you.
The curly fries, though.
I knew I liked something about you.
Just that.
You have been reporting. I saw your name on the byline, I think, on the digital platform, but maybe not on the print.
Both? Yeah.
For the Jason Van Dyke trial and the sentencing, which is awaiting. I thought it was very interesting to hear what the options were, because it's all over the gamut here. So Jason Van Dyke has been found guilty of how many charges?
He's been found guilty of one count of second-degree murder and 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm.
In the shooting of Laquan McDonald. So we've been waiting. You know, there were two pivot points here. One is, will he be found guilty? The answer is yes. And then the maybe just as important question is, does he go to jail? How long? What are the sentencing guidelines on this?
So it depends who you talk to. People, one of the most interesting things about this verdict from a legal standpoint has been there's not universal agreement on what the sentencing guidelines is, because the way the indictment came down, technically, Jason Van Dyke should face a minimum of 6 years for every one of those aggravated battery counts.
So 6 times 16 is 96.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah, 96
so,
years.
So he's looking... technically, most people thought, you know, minimum of 96 years. And that's a lot for a second degree, you know, murder charge. And
what does the prosecution want?
Well, so, you know, you had Joe McMahon on the day after, right? And I think he kind of showed a little bit of his cards there when he was on your show. And I had talked to him around that same time, and he told me the same thing. He doesn't want to send Jason Van Dyke away for the rest of his life. In fact, I think he said on your show, you know, it's tough to be a police officer in prison. It's tough for anyone to be in prison, but it's really tough for a police officer to be in prison because you're isolated. You never mingle with the general population. So Joe McMahon clearly has no interest in sending or no desire to send Jason Van Dyke away for the rest of his life. And he didn't give a specific number in the memo he filed this week, but he did provide the judge with a way that the judge could sentence him to 18 years.
18 years?
Yeah.
How old is Jason Van Dyke?
He's 40.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That would get him out in about, you have to serve 85% of your sentence for aggravated battery. That would get him out at about 55.
Think about that. Blago went to jail for 14.
Correct.
And this is 18 or less. I don't know if that's instructive or not. I'm just thinking of people who went to jail and for how long. And what's the appropriate penalty for that? So maybe 18 years. Mm-hmm. But in fact, he could be released. He could be released on probation, right?
He could get probation. He will not get probation. I don't think that's going to happen in any universe. But you know, his defense team has to ask for it.
And they did. I wonder if that's a smart move, right? Because I know you want to bargain low, but that's so unreasonable. It's not even like you offered the other side something. It's like when you're buying a house and they want $400,000 and you say, how about $1,000? Well, you really haven't made an offer.
Right.
You know, we're back to $400,000 in the case of real estate.
Right. But I don't think the judge will be taken aback by that.
Really?
It's a very standard move for a defense. If it's a probational offense, the defense is going to ask for probation.
Stacey, I'm sorry, it's Bertrand. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt. Steve. John, I'm going to interrupt you. We're getting a word of a key vote out of England on Brexit. It's not good for Theresa May.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Aaron Katursky. Members of the British Parliament have rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal by an overwhelming majority. It means that she now has until January 21st to set out a plan B, which may involve going back to Brussels to seek further concessions from the European Union. May had made a last-ditch plea to members of Parliament to back her withdrawal plan from the European Union, saying that we have a duty to deliver on the democratic decision of the British people. But members of Parliament, to repeat, have rejected her Brexit deal by 432 votes to 202. I'm Aaron Katursky. This has been a special report from ABC News.
So we'll continue to follow that, have more coming up at 2. In fact, a word from Theresa May, but a big defeat for her and an increasing sign that perhaps England might leave the EU without a Brexit deal.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 1:45. More on that in 15 minutes. We're talking to Stacey Sinclair, who's a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, about Jason Van Dyke found guilty of 16 plus one different counts. The question is, how long does he go to jail for the shooting of Laquan McDonald? And I mentioned that I thought it was a silly suggestion by his defense team to say, how about nothing? You said that's not atypical and not right. insulting to the procedure, so that's okay.
Right. The judge will take no offense to that.
So where I wonder what the – do we have any sense of what the judge is going to do?
I think the judge will do he's not an unreasonable, you know, or a hardliner, but he also doesn't worry too much about public opinion. He kind of does what he wants to do. I think you could see something in the range that McMahon
18 years.
It's funny, maybe because, a little less.
Well, and it's funny because you say, well, what's typical in this case? But we really don't have many convictions
right.
of police officers shooting civilians, not for second degree murder and 16 different counts. This is atypical.
Correct. And I think the judge will take into consideration what the jury's verdict was. And that was that they believe that Jason Van Dyke was in fear for his safety when he pulled the gun. But
who believes that?
The jury. But they don't believe that it was a reasonable fear. That's what that second degree finding is. So that's what the judge has in front of him, that verdict.
That's not your interpretation? I mean, that is the correct interpretation?
That is the correct interpretation.
That the jury believed that Van Dyke feared for his life.
Right. That's what they found. That to get to second degree, that was the decision they had to have decided.
As opposed to first degree.
Correct. The mitigating circumstance. They believe it wasn't reasonable to shoot, but the mitigating circumstance was that he wrongly believed that he was in jeopardy. And that's what knocked it down from a first degree to a second degree. Mm. That's the road they had to take.
Well, if you wipe the slate clean, pardon me, maybe this isn't even relevant now, right? But if you wipe the slate clean and said, watch the video, should this officer fear for his safety? I don't think so.
Correct.
That's just me.
Right. I mean, that's what the jury did, right? They said he shouldn't fear for him. He shouldn't have been afraid, but he was. So,
well, I'm sorry.
It was unreasonable.
I'm having trouble following that. He was or he wasn't. He was fearful for his life, but he should not have been.
Right. It was an unreasonable fear is what they found.
Pardon me, then we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Because you figure all of those guns pointing at Laquan McDonald, if I'm one of the police officers, I like my chances. I don't know if this is instructive either, but if the bullet had found somebody else, a civilian, or if a young man had shot a police officer,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how reasonable 18 years or probation or 96 years would be.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we treat police officers different in these circumstances. I think we should.
Right.
But I wonder if Van Dyke does not go to jail for double digits, say, mm-hmm. if people will say that disrespects Laquan McDonald's life.
Well, I did get some emails today because actually there was a sentencing yesterday in the Hedea Pendleton murder, right? In 84 years. And so some readers actually raised that question, you know, why are prosecutors asking for 18 years when this, you know, man got 84 years for killing someone as well? There are some differences. One was Hedea Pendleton's killers were convicted of first degree murder. Jason Van Dyke is not. He's convicted of what we more commonly consider manslaughter. So he doesn't have a criminal record. You know, he has a record of public service for 14 years and for contributing to his community.
Who never drew his gun?
Never drew his gun.
Never fired his gun. Never drew his. And you know, right. It's so I'm tortured by this because. Well, I'm angry about all mm-hmm. of this. What is the purpose of sending him to jail for the rest of his life? What is the purpose of sending him to jail for 96 years? What is the purpose of sending him for 50 years? You know, I don't wish that on him, and I don't know that that makes Chicago or the world a better place if he goes to jail for more than, say, 18 years.
I think that is exactly the argument that Special Prosecutor Joe McMahon laid out in his document yesterday, and I think it's the argument that you and he discussed this very topic. I think it was the day after the verdict.
You heard that conversation?
Yeah, I've listened to the conversation,
and I could tell that he was that he had strong opinions that he wasn't at liberty yet to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the background of my mind too has been, I wonder what the public reaction will be if the penalty is insufficient. Mm-hmm. Will you get something akin to what you might have seen if he were found not guilty? I wonder where that line is. What's the number there? Because I'll bet in some community organizers, they're waiting to see what happens here.
Right. And I think if you look at it, prosecutors charged Jason Van Dyke for every shot that he fired at Laquan McDonald. And under the law, it's this sort of situation where each one of those shots, the prison time for those shots has to be served consecutively, where most of the time we're used to sentences being served concurrently. So that's just sort of like the little quirk in this situation. If he was charged with one count of aggravated battery for shooting Laquan and convicted of second-degree murder, you'd be looking at a sentencing range between a minimum of 6 years and a maximum of 30 years.
And then you could have, right. And that makes more sense to me. I don't understand concurrent versus consecutive. I understand what they mean, but why do they do that? Why is each shot a separate act when it's within 14 seconds of each other?
I mean, that is the way the law is structured to handle
it. If you came back a week later and shot me or punched me, I get that.
Correct.
But if it really was one act.
Right. And that's what the defense is arguing. The defense is saying this is one act, one crime. But the way that the indictment was established and the way the law is, it's one act and almost 16 crimes in the one act.
But then, you know what, as a judge who has the leeway here,
right.
I think I think I could still treat it as one. I could say 16 for all 16.
Right. And I think what the prosecutors sort of suggested to the judge.
16 for, how many total shots was it? It was
16 shots.
Yeah.
So what the prosecutor suggested to the judge is, you determine, Your Honor, which of the shots caused serious bodily injury. You know, there's a lot of time spent during the trial on what were the fatal shots. There was two that, you know, the defense kept harping on, one to the neck, one to the chest. And the prosecution said, okay, let's take the defense's own argument. They say there were two fatal shots. Have those serve consecutively. Give him 6 years, you know, each of those, that's 12. And you give him six for the rest of the shots. And then you're at 18. So that's how the prosecution came up with 18.
For the aggravated side.
And then for the aggravated. And then the sentence for
second degree
would just run concurrently. It would run at the same time. So while he was serving aggravated battery, he would serve second degree.
We'll pause for just a minute. Do you have one more minute for
sure.
us? Stacey St. Clair writes for the Chicago Tribune. She's in our studio. We're talking about the sentencing, which will we get the result this week, right?
We should, yes.
Just another, it's 1:56. We have just a few seconds left. One of our listeners said, was temporary insanity an option for Jason Van Dyke at all?
I mean, not really. Temporary sanity is what's considered an affirmative defense. And Jason Van Dyke did have an affirmative defense, a justification for his actions. And he said that he felt that what he was doing at that moment was the right thing. And that's what temporary insanity is, that you can't tell right from wrong. So even though Jason Van Dyke didn't say I was insane, he said, when I committed the act, I believed I was doing the right thing. And I still believe I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So he did defend himself on a mental standpoint from that angle, but not technically an insanity defense.
Okay, the sentencing this week. I'm going to call you and ask you to join us on the phone or in the studio again.
Sure, happy to do it.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see
you
too. By the
way, so I'm done talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm now going to take a call.
Okay.
On a different topic.
Mm-hmm.
This will take about 14 seconds. Hey, stay right there, though. Jody, you're on WGN Radio. How are you, Jody?
Good. How are you?
Good. One of our listeners said, how do I get the cable company to reduce my rate? What did we say a couple years ago about that?
It's called the retention division.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they lower your rates so that you don't move to another provider.
It's like with your credit card company. You say, hey, I'm done. I'm leaving. And then they'll say, no. We've got a special deal for you.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to call my cable provider and ask for the retention division. That's what we needed. Jody, thank you for the call. Into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with the stories that matter next on WGN.